Amen. That was a great time of worship, and those words were incredible. You'll see how right on they were after I give this message. You know, God works in amazing ways, doesn't He? It's just totally incredible how He weaves everything together, just like an amazing, beautiful tapestry. So I have the pleasure of speaking today. Pastor Jones and his family are all out in California enjoying a basketball tournament, and hopefully they're winning or have won. And the Caldwells are there too. So we'll just keep them in our prayers as they come back to join us. So we're going to continue our series, Live Like a King, Lessons from the Life of King David. I've been so excited about this series because, you know, besides studying Jesus, I love studying King David. He was an amazing man, a man to be called a man after God's own heart. Incredible, right? So who wants to live like a king? I do, right? Not just any king. I want to be that man after God's own heart. So first, I just want to recap the previous messages. The first one that Pastor Eric spoke about was being anointed, being filled with the Holy Spirit, so we're enabled to do His will. And then secondly, being patient, right? King David was patient. He patiently waited on the Lord. And then the next message was, be merciful. Be merciful. David was persecuted, right? But he didn't come back and mistreat others or get revenge, even though he was mistreated. Rather, he responded with mercy. 180 degrees different, you know, from the world's way or from Saul's way. That contrast was incredible. And then Carlos Valiente spoke about being confident in the Lord. He spoke about Joshua and Caleb and how they knew that God was on their side when they were ready to go out and enter the promised land, that they could do it because God was with them. And then next, Pastor Eric talked about about being a fan. Being a fan. The power of worship, right? We danced before the Lord during worship. Few people were able to do that. Actually, a lot more people were able to do that. It was kind of freeing, wasn't it? As we did, as David did. And then last week, Pastor Emmanuel, he didn't really speak on this series, but I renamed his message so it would fit in. All right? I named his message, Be Attached to the Vine. All right? We have the B, Be Attached to the Vine. He talked about being connected in, you know, with that vine, so we could be one with Christ. And it was an amazing message. So if you get a chance to listen to it, go out online and listen to it. So I really appreciated all of these words because they were the perfect setup for what I wanted to talk about. And they really just set that stage nicely. And you'll see as we go through it. So today we're going to talk about what's probably one of the most commonly asked questions by Christians. And that is, how can I be in His will? Or how can I know the direction for my life? How can I know what decisions to make that are based on godly principles and not my own way or the world's way? Right? So we're going to talk about being in His will. It's a weighty subject, hard to narrow down to just one little message. And I'm not going to cover all the aspects of it, but just some key points as I see them. Because people write books on this subject. And I've only got maybe 30, 40 minutes. So we'll do our best here. So first, I just wanted to come to the Lord in prayer and just ask God, we seek Your face. We want to know Your will, Lord. We want to know Your will. And God, may this message speak to the hearts of those here, God, so they would run after You and want to know Your will as David did. God, so open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears to know Your ways. Amen. So unlike many messages that I've heard, I am actually going to, from the very beginning, I'm going to give you the punchline. All right? I'm not going to hold anything back. I'm going to give you that secret formula, right, of knowing God's will. So I'm going to boil this message down to a key overriding principle that's really the foundation for the many specific ways that God often chooses to show us His direction for our lives. And we'll see that principle is just woven throughout my teaching today. That's why I wanted to give it up front, So it's kind of like a radio commercial, a radio show, right? When they hook you and they say, all right, the winner is, we're going to commercial break. But I really don't have a commercial break. I am going to give it to you today and right now. So when I stepped back and I looked at King David's life as a whole, I was able to determine how he managed to be in the will of God, really most of the time, right? He made mistakes, though, so he wasn't perfect. He was a man like us, or a man and woman like us. So you ready for the secret? All right. So David's secret to being in God's will, and we're going to do the same thing, right, because we want to be like David, is it was because King David had an intimate, personal relationship with God. That's the summary of this message. Intimate, personal relationship with God. And you'll see that there's an awful lot of ways that we can hear from God. But this is the foundation of the whole message and how we can better hear and know His character, how we can know His ways and His heart. It's really the basics of Christianity, but put into practice and maybe even put on steroids, right? David put those things into practice and really did them. He really embraced the basics of knowing God and seeking after Him. So David knew God's will, and we can know His will because first, if you're saved, you're adopted in to His family. Like Pastor Emmanuel said, we are part of that vine, right? He's the vine and we are the branches. We are in Him. And what flows up, right? That sap flows up. Pastor Emmanuel talked about that sap that flows up through the vine and into the branches. So we really are a part of Him. We are fully, fully adopted in as His children. I was thinking about an analogy. You know, because we're saved and part of that family, we live with Him in His house, right? We aren't visitors or guests. We don't just come once in a while. We have access, and we can live with Him. And I took that analogy a little further, thinking about how we sit at a table with Him, a banqueting table with an amazing spread of food that we can partake of with Him as we're spending time with Him. He's feeding us. Right? We're not like, a dog underneath the table that just gets a scrap once in a while. He invites us to sit at the table and commune with Him so we can really get to know Him, all right? Not just once in a while, but constantly. He gives us access to Him. I have a quote from Watchman Nee, amazing teacher, lots of books out there that he's done through the years. And it was about 50 years ago that he lived. And here it is. Instead of eking out a hand-to-mouth existence on special dispensations of grace, he is laying up over the years a permanent overplus out of which to bring forth things old and new. In other words, what he's saying is we can know the mind of the Spirit because we're communing with Him on a daily basis, because we're sitting at that table, because we're eating at the table with Him on a regular basis. We don't have to worry about getting an immediate oracle from God, right? We can know His will without because we have His mind. Because we've spent time doing the hard labor, spending time in prayer, spending time in His Word, so we can get His answer without having to just be that kind of that dog underneath the table that's asking for one scrap from God. Because we know Him really well, because we've been at the table with Him for a long time. So let's go into David's life to see how he dedicated himself to spending time with God so that he could know God's will. I thought about him as a shepherd boy. If you recall from the story, King Saul didn't obey, right? And so God said, Saul, I'm going to take the kingdom away from you. And I'm going to give it to a man after my own heart. And that man, of course, was David. And David was just a shepherd boy. He was not a great man. He was not in a high position. He was a young man. So I thought about what did David do to enable him to be called that man after God's own heart? So I pictured David out in the fields, the hills. And what did he spend his time doing? I'm sure he spent his time in prayer, seeking God's face, and praising, right? He probably had his little harp and lyre, writing songs and praising God, focusing on his beauty, the amazing stars, his creation. He could see God in all that he did. And so God knew his heart, even as at that age of a young boy, to call him a man after God's own heart while he was just that young shepherd. Let's go to Psalm 143:10. Now David prayed a prayer that absolutely must be the desire of every single Christian. And this is it. He said, "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." So this man after God's own heart wanted to know God's will. It was the core of his being, the core of what he did. He knew that God would teach him, right? It was a process of learning. So we can take that in and realize that learning his will is that process of seeking his face daily, seeking him in prayer. And then he also acknowledged that knowing his will could only come from God. "For you are my God," he said. "May your good spirit," he acknowledged that God is good. His way is good. He was saying, "My way, King David, is not good. God, your way is good. Teach me your will." And if he did it God's way, that it would lead to a better life. Level ground. That better life was level ground. So next, I just wanted to talk about four primary ways that the Lord leads us to be in his will. And the first is that he leads us by his designed circumstances. His designed circumstances. So that we end up where he wants us to be, even when we don't have a conscious part in getting there. So for example, again, David, out as a shepherd boy, he probably also practiced using his sling. He probably practiced using a sword, using a knife. You know, God didn't make him a tent maker or a carpenter. God had him in that position to prepare him to be a commander in the army, a leader of his people, the king of his people. So God designed those circumstances to prepare King David. Another example of God leading by his designed circumstances is Paul and Silas. They found themselves in jail in Acts 16. And the result was salvation for the jailer and his family. Paul and Silas didn't want to be in jail. I'm just guessing. It probably wasn't a very nice place. But God used that to bring the jailer and his family to him. So God puts us often in those places where we don't necessarily want to be. But he has designed those circumstances for our good. In Job 42:2, it says, "No purpose of yours can be thwarted." God guides us by these designed purposes. So we can rest in that, knowing that that's what he does overall. Secondly, he leads us to be in his will by his commands and teachings of the Bible. So what not to do, what to do, right? The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not covet, etc. Or Matthew 22, when Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." Or the Sermon on the Mount when he talks about, "Be merciful, love your enemies, be a peacemaker, give to the needy, fast," right? So all filled through the Bible are his commands and his teaching. And this is really probably one of the most common and most accurate ways to know if you're in his will. But the Bible doesn't specifically give us every direction that we should or shouldn't do, or for every aspect of our lives. And that's why the next one, number three, he leads us to be in his will by giving us discernment. Right? Discernment. Spiritual discernment. Again, since they aren't specifically spelled out in the Bible, we can know his word and apply those principles to our situation with the help of the power of the Holy Spirit. Right? But we've got to get into his word to know it. We've got to get into it. I've got a quote from John Piper about discernment. John Piper says, "Discernment is how we follow God's leading through the process of spiritually sensitive application of biblical truth to the particularities of the situation. God's Spirit shapes the mind and the heart through the word and prayer so that we have inclinations toward what would be most glorifying to Him and helpful to others." So He leads us through discernment. All right, and the next one. He leads us to be in His will by allowing us to hear His voice. He simply tells us what to do, right? And there are several ways that he can do this. And this is probably one of the least common ways that He leads us. And in some ways, not the most accurate, right? There are several aspects of hearing His voice this way that are extremely accurate. One being an angelic visitation. Wouldn't that be incredible for God to send an angel to tell you exactly what to do in that situation? He did it all through His Word. He did it all through His Word, and it was powerful. An example of that is in Acts 8:26, when He said, where it says, "The angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go south to the road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" An angel. God, give us angels to speak to us. We'll take it. Amen. And the next is the audible voice of God. Of course, this is extremely accurate as well, just like an angelic visitation. There's examples all through the Word, and I've heard of examples as I was doing this study of people now that have actually heard, as my voice is today speaking to you, they heard the voice of God. Wow, incredible. Just like Moses in the burning bush is a great example. He spoke to him from the bush. God's all-powerful, and He can do that should He choose to. Another way that He allows us to hear His voice is through that still, small voice. Has anybody kind of experienced that thought that pops into the mind, a feeling that you just know this is the right way to go? You've been praying about something, you've been seeking His face, and that thought pops into your mind. And that's that still, small voice. An example is in Acts 13:29. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, interesting, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So God can speak to us through that still small voice. Another way is that someone else can tell you what they heard from the Lord for you. Another method. And God can work in all kinds of amazing ways. Again, I can't really cover everything today. And we have lower confidence that we've known the will of God through either that still small voice or through someone telling you what they heard from the Lord, because they're subjectively perceived, right? Versus the other methods that really relate to the actual Word of God or an angelic visitation or God actually speaking. And that's where we really need to use discernment based on these biblical principles. And as we compare that to His explicit direction in the Bible, if we know His Word, you know, in many cases, there's principles that we can apply to our situation, even though it doesn't give the specific. And then finally, that overriding the sovereignty of God, knowing that His direction, His plans won't be thwarted, you know, that works in our lives. So keep that in mind, because we can rest in that, knowing that regardless of our situation, regardless of where we're at, regardless of whether or not we can hear that still small voice, regardless of whether or not we have an answer today, He is guiding things. So, and I know it's not easy to, you know, at all, to determine that specific will of God for our lives. So when there's no clear answer in Scriptures, or we haven't received that angelic visitation of the voice from God, we need to know how we can deepen our relationship with Him so that we can know what His will is. We can come to a better understanding of what His will is for a certain situation. Let's skip down to Romans 12:2, if you will, Tom. Skip down to Romans 12:2, the verse. It says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. So we've got to renew our mind. That transforms us from where we were into where He wants us to be, right? And we've got to evaluate our actions. I mean, I think about times in my life when I've needed to know His will, and I thought about various things related to that, and I had to step back a little bit and say, God, is this from You, or is this something I've learned, say, from my high school buddies, or from an influence wasn't the best, or is it an old wives' tale, or is it just good advice? I don't want to rely on those things, God. I want that renewed mind that thinks of things Your way. So it's consciously stepping back and thinking about and comparing His way to my way. We also need that renewed mind to understand and embrace the Scriptures, all of His commandments. See, without that renewed mind, we might distort the Scriptures or avoid actually even putting them into practice, right? Again, it's delving into the Spirit, into the Word, asking Him to help us embrace them and then actually do them and understand them. Paul says that the Scriptures are inspired to make the Christian competent, equipped for every good work. That's in 2 Timothy 3. And not just some works, right? Competent and equipped for every good work. So we need to meditate on His Word, labor in that, to really know the will of God. So if we have that renewed mind that's been shaped and molded by God's will in the Bible, then we will be able to discern what to do. It'll be more clear to us if we're, like I said, laboring in that. So it's very different from constantly trying to hear God's voice with an immediate oracle, right? It's dining with Him. It's not just like that dog that's just looking for one quick bite, and the dog hasn't been around, just looking for a little scrap underneath the table. Totally different from laboring to seek after Him and to know His will. And don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that the still small voice isn't important or people speaking into our lives is not important. I'm just saying that a deep, intimate relationship with God will help us determine His will through His Word and through prayer, because it makes our discernment more accurate when we do that. Right? Because it's in tune with the Holy Spirit. It's in tune with Him. We're one with Him. Our spiritual sensitivity is increased as we seek His face daily, moment by moment, all throughout the day. Right? So God's aim is a new mind, a new way of thinking and judging, not just new information. A new mind. God, give us a renewed mind. We need it. We need a renewed mind. So now I'm going to go to Psalm 40. Psalm 40 was pretty amazing because it really lays out the foundation of how King David sought the will of God in all that he said and did so that he would glorify his heavenly Father. This first section, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Pastor Eric talked about waiting patiently. And we need to wait patiently, even though we're seeking the Lord with all of our might. We're reading His Word. We're praying. We're maybe spending hours in the prayer room. We might not get the answer today. We might not get it this week or next month or 10 years from now. Right? We wait patiently for His timing. His timing is good. His timing is good. If He wants us to know that answer today, guess what? He will give it to us. Right? If He doesn't, wait patiently. Continue seeking after Him. Continue. Don't be discouraged. It's not easy. But keep after Him. He honors it. David was patient. An example of that, of course, Eric talked about it. He didn't kill Saul when he could have. He had many opportunities to take the kingdom. even after Saul's death. He didn't take it then. Talk about a man of patience, waiting for God to show him his will. In 2 Samuel 2, it said, in the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" He asked, and the Lord said, "Go up." And David said, "Where should I go?" And the Lord said, "To Hebron." So David waited, even though it looked like, logically, it's time for me to take the kingdom. I've been anointed. Time for me to do it. But he didn't. So are we willing to wait on the Lord? I once heard a preacher give a sermon about seeking the will of God. If he and his wife were seeking the will of God, they would pretty much stop everything they did, and they would go and they would pray and they would seek the Lord until they found an answer. I thought, you know what, that is really good that they do that. That's really good, but you know what? It doesn't show patience in God's way. Because God may not give us the answer after 6 hours of praying or 10 hours of praying, right? I thought, you know what? We got to have that balance, Lord. It's seeking after Him, yes, but it's not demanding an answer from Him today or tomorrow. It's waiting patiently, as David did. And sometimes, you know, when we're in that slimy pit, He's got a lot for us. A lot can come out of being in that slimy pit. I remember times in my life, difficult times. They were awful to go through. But the Lord met me where I was and taught me so many things. And I wouldn't trade those days in the slimy pit for anything, because He taught me through that. Next slide. We've got to praise Him. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And I think sometimes that we forget about praise and its impact on our relationship with Him. Eric talked about being a fan. When we worship Him, He communicates to us. We minister to Him, He ministers to us. It changes our heart when we praise Him. When we drop everything and focus on Him, dance before the Lord as David did, it changes us. And it gives Him an opportunity to speak to us into our softened heart as we praise Him. Next verse. The second part of verse 4. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. We've got to put our trust in Him. I don't remember who gave the word today, but putting our trust in Him. The more we trust Him, the more blessed we will be, which means we will be in His will. Right? We will be. If we're blessed by Him, we will be in His will. Great verse. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Right? We trust in Him, that He has the good plan for us. Not a bad plan, a really great plan, but we've got to trust Him, that He's got it all under control. It reminds me of Pastor Carlos Valiente's talk about confidence. Joshua and Caleb were confident and put their trust in the Lord fully. And we need to do the same, because His plans are good. The next section of verses, it says, "Who does not look to the proud to turn aside to false gods?" That to me says, look, we've got to seek wise counselors. We've heard it said, and the Bible says that, seek wise counselors. "Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you have planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare." So I say on spiritual matters, seek wise, godly counsel from folks that really know the Word, that are like King David, seeking after God. Right? You want to get advice from them. Let's not be Lone Ranger Christians. Let's be gathered together as we are today. Let's gather in the prayer room. Let's seek advice from each other. Because God speaks to us all differently. And I can get a word from Tracy that I hadn't thought about. Or she can remind me of something in His Word that just tells me, yep, that's what I needed. That's exactly what I needed. I needed to have her take on the Word and how it can change my situation, how I can know that I can be in His will in this situation. And then on maybe other matters that we might be struggling with, financial, medical, etc. If we can get a counselor that's a Christian counselor, wow. They come from a different foundation, right? A doctor that's a Christian versus one that isn't. Different way of handling things. So seeking wise counsel. The next section. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. But my ears you have opened, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. This section really reminds me of when Saul disobeyed and offered that sacrifice without waiting for Samuel. In 1 Samuel 16, it said, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. He wasn't obedient. So disobedience can be a roadblock to hearing His voice. We need to ask ourselves, am I obeying? Like sometimes we know. We know when we're disobeying, not following His word. Let's step back. Let's make the change. Let's fully seek after Him. Let's change those things. Let's take off that yoke. Break it. We can do that. We can take off that yoke. Usually we put our head in that yoke ourselves. Let's make that choice to obey so that we can more clearly hear His voice. Next section. He said, I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. We've got to know His law. We've got to have that desire. The next section. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. David was boldly proclaiming and telling others about God. And as we boldly tell others, our faith and trust grows in Him. And our relationship grows with Him and it matures as we see the power of His words. Speaking to others, speaking some key verse out of His word can greatly impact another person. It impacts them. And when we see that, we see God's work, it greatly impacts us too and brings us closer to our Heavenly Father. So let's be bold and speak the truth to others. The next section. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me and I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, be appalled at their own shame. When those troubles come, let's pray for His mercy. Because that's many times when we need His direction, when that troubles come. And here David was giving us an example to just pray for His mercy. And God is a merciful God. It says His mercy is what? Great. And His love endures forever. Sometimes I pray that to Him. I just say, God, I'm reminding you of your word right now. I'm in a difficult situation. You said your mercy is great and your love endures forever. And we can do that. We can remind Him of His word. And it strengthens us to know that we're in His will. The next section, verse 16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. So we seek Him with all our heart. I mean, that's really the summary that I started out with. We seek Him with all our heart. And when we do that, we'll also say, the Lord is great, because He will guide us in His ways. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help and my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay. It's powerful when we seek Him with all of our heart. So I'm thinking about times in my past when I have made a mistake and I didn't hear the word of God correctly. Ever happened to anybody else? Oh, yeah. Okay. So what do we rely on when that happens? I rely again on God's character, that is mercy and grace and forgiveness, right? David said, teach me your ways. He's saying, he's acknowledging, God, I don't know it all. I don't know it all. Teach me, Lord. We need to step back and be taught, right? Evaluate what I did or what I didn't do so that we can know that we're in His way. But thank you, God, that you are merciful and forgiving. And as we saw in David's life, he sinned many times, but he was quick to ask for forgiveness and turn from his sin. And we need to do the same after that man, after God's own heart. So what's the summary of this message? Back to the second page of my notes. Intimate relationship with God. This is what it's all about, right? He will show us His will as we seek Him, as we increase our spiritual level of sensitivity. He will answer. That's what He says in His Word. Maybe not today. Maybe not tomorrow. We need to show patience. But He will. So my encouragement to you is seek after Him with everything you got. Labor in that. We don't necessarily just need to labor for that quick answer. Labor in His Word. Labor in praise. Labor in all those things. And He will answer. And hopefully it won't be the most common question answered by Christians anymore as we labor in that. Right? So let's seek after Him. Let's everybody stand. Let's pray. I just want to pray that I'm sure people are here today seeking His will, right? In a number of things or in difficult situations. And He will answer. Amen. Do the hard work. But He can answer today as well. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, we are just grateful for Your mighty name, Your power, and Your control over all things, that You have the plans laid out for us. So we rest in that, Father God, knowing that ultimately You've got everything under control. Grow us in You, God. Grow us in Your ways. Increase our desire for Your Word. Increase our desire for prayer, Lord. Give us Your Holy Spirit to illuminate Your Word so that we might know Your ways and make right choices, Father God. Give us the desire to spend time with other believers so that they might speak into our lives. God, You didn't make us Lone Ranger Christians. So please give us that desire to spend time with others, Father God. We're just thankful for Your Word and the power of Your Word, Lord. As we read it, God, help us to remember it. Help us to remember it, Father God. Increase our desire for Your Word. So, Heavenly Father, I also pray if there are folks that are in need today, folks that are in that slimy pit, in that difficult place, Father God, that You would speak to them through Your Word or through that still small voice. Or send an angel or a dream or a vision, God. It's all up to You, God. We yield to You and Your ways, not our own, not the patterns of this world, God, but Your pattern and Your ways, Your perspective, and not our own. Give us Your God goggles to see things as You see them, Lord. We want to see them Your way and not our own. Please, Lord Jesus. Your Word does say Your mercy is great and Your love endures forever. So we ask for Your mercy in this, Lord Jesus. We pray. In Your name, amen.